Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now the 70 that Jesus had sent out to preach returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. So today, the celebration of Michael and all angels. Where are the angels these days? And don't say Los Angeles. Where are the messengers of God? That was actually a question asked of me Friday night. Valerie and I had gathered together at a restaurant on the hill with 10 or so of my old Rittner High School chums. 55th anniversary of graduation. A few of them I'd not seen in 55 years, actually. That was their question. They knew what I was doing, and I said, this was the Sunday, it was going to be about angels, and their question was, where are the angels these days? Perhaps it is your question as well. 2 weeks ago, Valerie and I saw the second half of a pretty extraordinary play that's at the Rep, I think, even now, called Angels in America. Are there angels in America? This play was set in the context of the AIDS epidemic. And there were these, I'm going to call them weird scenes, peculiar, strange at least, in which an angel descended from above into the play, an angel with wings, and I'm thinking of our Christmas play coming up. I'm wondering if we can do... Nathan, what do you think? but with wings, as one might imagine. Was this the messenger from God? The play centered on the struggle of a guy named Lewis, who wrestled with AIDS, and he also wrestled with the rejection and fear that surrounded him at that time. And the tardiness or the slowness of society to respond, particularly with research and help with medication and drugs. By the end, he emerged as a messenger, for he emerged calling forth humanity, for humanity and care to be shown to the afflicted. He emerged from within society's prejudice and fear to stand with a truth, a message, a calling, a life, even amidst his own illness, by calling for attention to be paid, for humanity to be acknowledged. He was angelic. There was one crazy scene in which the angel descended from above and was about to return, but Lewis ran over and grabbed it by the leg, wrestled it to the earth, reminded me of the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel or with God by the riverside. And you remember that Jacob's hip was put out of joint. He was wounded in the skirmish. Is it not then the wounded who become our angels, who bring the divine message? My answer to my old friends to the question, where are the angels? I said, today they are at our borders. They peer through our fences. They clamor at the wall. It's not only that they wish for a better life for themselves And in many instances, they are just coming for the hope of life itself in the face of certain death from whence they come. But as angels, they call us. They call us to life. They call us to live in the values that give us and our country life, an openness of heart and care for all, especially the lost. Years ago, famously, Abraham Lincoln called for us as a nation to set aside division, to set aside death that attended divisiveness, and to be guided by what? The better angels of our nature. When we are ruled by the better angels of our nature, I didn't bring my prop, but there is a very famous professor, Steven Pinker, who wrote a book using that phrase as the title. He identified them as a very reasonable man: empathy, self-control, moral sense, and reason. These are the better angels of our nature that he identifies in his book. When we are ruled by these, violence declines. That was his observation. Theologically, we could say that sin, the restriction or the taking of life, declines. But we know from our own experience and observation in the world that we are often deceived, or we deceive ourselves, and sometimes we are happy to be deceived, to be allowed, to be sanctioned, to act upon the worst, the most selfish of our impulses, to demonize others, to establish purity and supremacy cults. Scripture, as we were reading today, characterizes this phenomenon as that ancient serpent, the dragon thrown down to earth. I think the best phrase is the deceiver of the whole world. The deception is in the demonizing of others, in the accusation, in the prejudice, in the exclusion, in the idea of greatness as dehumanizing others. Our soul is lost, and it feels deeply like we are, as a country, losing our soul in a great deception of dehumanization, divisiveness, and the rejection of reason with respect to climate denial. And deception requires victims. Deception necessitates violence. Where are our angels? Our Christian experience tells us that the better angels of our natures are empowered and called forth by our encounter, by our faith, by our trust in Jesus the Christ. This is so because of the great truth of the cross. Jesus stands with all those who are dehumanized, victimized. He was crucified because he would not lose any, because he demanded life for all. He always offered life to those who had been excluded, demeaned, exploited, dehumanized. And he promises forgiveness. He promises forgiveness to victimizers, encouraging and empowering always for, I love the Greek term metanoia, that is a change of mind, a change of heart, a turning, a repentance, a new life. The truth of all our lives is that we are both of these at once. As we reflect on our own histories, our experiences, I know that there's brokenness and broken belonging that has befallen all of you, all of us, upon our journey. And as I reflect on my own life, there are certainly times when I have failed to act according to the better angels of my nature toward others. Jesus stands with the broken, bears the brokenness that we have caused. He is the innocent victim who bears in his person the violent sin of the world. Jesus' death and resurrection announces that we are always in God's heart, that we are always beloved. We are promised life when life appears to fail us, and we are offered forgiveness when we have failed others. It is in this promise and this forgiveness that we might once again recognize the angels, and in so doing, follow the better angels of our nature. Amen.